You may be seated. Well, hopefully during those songs you think about the words. That last song especially, you know. God works all things for His good. And we don't always know why certain things happen, but it's really funny sometimes. Of course, Rick and Jeannie are gone, and this morning we were supposed to, Heather and Christy and Judy were going to lead the singing with John and I, and Ashley was going to come play keyboard. Right, she has to work at 11, but she's going to come and go. And so these were the songs that Heather had picked out. Well, then she got her shingles. You know, she's been dealing with shingles for a long time, and they say she's too young to give her anything for it. So she has to deal with the pain. And sometimes if you've had shingles, you know what kind of pain that is. And she was really upset yesterday when she called and she said she wasn't going to be able to be here this morning and lead the music. So I sent the songs to Dave, and I said, Dave, pick out some videos. And I think the videos he picked out, these songs first off that Heather had picked out, goes right with what I'm looking at today. And the videos even more so, because the videos he picked up were very worshipful. God's looking into our heart. And so I got two questions to ask you this morning. Number one is, what is off limits to God? That requires an answer. Who said nothing? Now, how many agree with her? Nothing is off limits to God. Okay, so here's my second question. What do you make off limits to God in your life? Wait, I didn't see here, no, nothing. Wait, you got the first answer, nothing is off limits to God. But the second one is, what do you make off limits to God in your life? And that's what the message is about this morning. If you look at Jonah, you know what Jonah's all about, right? Yeah. But if you look at Jonah, and we're going to look at verse 9 through verse 12. But just a little background here is Jonah survived for 3 days in the belly of a big fish. Could be a whale. Could be something else. I don't know. Maybe it was a white shark. I don't know. It could be a fish back then that we don't even have today. Well, whatever it was, God provided a fish when Jonah survived 3 days, which is a miracle in itself. But let's look at the whole picture of what happens with Jonah and then apply it to our lives. So verse 9, so he said to them, I am a Hebrew. I fear the Lord God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Then the men became extremely afraid, and they said to him, how could you do this? For the men knew that he was fleeing from the presence of the Lord because he had told them. So they said to him, what should we do to you that the sea will become calm? For the sea was increasingly stormy. And he said, pick me up, hurl me into the sea, and the sea will become calm. What was off limits to God in Jonah's life? God came to Jonah and said, Jonah, I want you to go and preach my word. And Jonah's like, yeah! I want to preach your word, God. I mean, he wanted to preach God's word. He wanted to tell people about God because he had faith in God. And God says to him, he says, all right, he says, I want you to go down to Nineveh and tell them about me. And Jonah backs up and he says, whoa, wait, time out. Boop, boop. Nineveh is full of sinful people. Nineveh is full of rotten people. Nineveh doesn't want anything to do with you, God. And God says, but I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, excuse me, God. But that's not what I want to do. So he fled from God. And that's what the story of Jonah is all about. We see. And where does Jonah end up? Huh? Yeah. And then where does he go? Nineveh. That would have made it a lot easier if it had just went up front. But no, he says, I don't want to go, God. That's not my plan. I don't think they're going to listen. I think they're going to just laugh at me, and they're going to make fun of me, and they're going to tell me, get out of here. I don't want to go, God. And so Jonah made part of his life off limits to God, didn't he? He made the choice, and he said, I'm not going. I'm going to go this way. And I jumped on a boat, and I'm going. Now, there's a couple things in here that we look at. But I want you to understand that Jonah knew God. Jonah wanted to be part of God's team. But Jonah wanted to put limits on God and say, all right, God, I'm going to choose. Now, when we read the scripture and we see that there was on this ship, there was a various amount of different people, okay? I don't know what all countries they came from, and that, but it said they all prayed to their God, okay? And the sea did not calm down. And they went to Jonah, and it says, hey, Jonah, we're all praying to our gods that the sea would calm down, but why aren't you praying? And Jonah says, well, because my God is the God who created this all. And my God told me to do something, and I didn't do it. And I disobeyed him, and I went on my own way. And that's why you're facing this. So just cast me into the sea. Jonah made something off limits to his life, to God. But did he know that he had made it off limits to God? Absolutely. Absolutely. So, you know, you look at the aspect that we don't understand, but you reign above it all. God reigns above heaven and earth. He reigns above it all. He reigns above us. He reigns above all the creatures. He reigns above nature. He reigns above it all. And so that God is the God that is the one that we believe in and the one that we accept. I was telling Jeff and Shirley this morning, I'm reading a book that Austin told me to read, and he said, read it, tell me what you think. And I started reading it. He put it on my iPad while he was up at our place, and I started reading it, and he, after a couple of days, said, well, what do you think? I said, well, I'm only to chapter 2. And he said, what? And I said, well, the guy keeps putting all this scripture in there, and I got to go and verify scripture. And I said, and when I go and verify scripture, I can't just look at one version. I got to go and look at all the versions, and sometimes that includes Greek or Hebrew. You know, because you can get the Greek and Hebrew Bible, and they'll actually interpret it for you. And sometimes it's a little different than what we commonly look at as English. Okay? And I said, so I'm only through chapter 2. And I read a few more chapters, and he said, well, what do you think? And I said, well, a lot of the stuff he puts in there challenges my way of thinking. So the first thing I want to ask you is, do you have any traditions or beliefs or things like that that you say, God, this is the way I believe, and I'm going to believe that way, and I don't want you to mess with it, because that's what I am, you know? I believe it this way. Don't mess with it, God. So don't we have some traditions and beliefs in our life that we tell God, don't mess with? A lot of times, yeah. You know, that's how I was raised. That's what I was taught in Sunday school. That's what I knew growing up. That doesn't mean it's 100% correct. Not always. Well, this book, and it defines the fact that there's more than one God. And I thought, okay, I got to dig a little further. And I dug into Scripture, and I started reading. And then it goes on and challenges some more and says, there's multiple gods. And I'm like, okay, dig into Scripture a little bit more. Well, I want to tell you, just based on a few chapters of that book, I'm starting to look at some things and saying is, okay, this wasn't how I was raised, but could there be more than one God? Yes. But there is one Lord of Lords, King of Kings, the creator of the earth. Okay, there's only one creator of the earth. But could he have created other gods? I don't know. But I'm going to share something with you that caused me to think. Go read the story of Ahab. And when Ahab did wrong, it says God went to the council of his council of the Most High. And he said, you decide the punishment for Ahab. God left that decision to his high council. And I'm saying, okay, is the high council Christ? And yeah, okay, and I'm digging. But then I go to the Tower of Babel. Everybody know the story of the Tower of Babel. Anybody not know the story of the Tower of Babel? You know, they were creating this place. And I know that we would never do something like this. But they were creating this place with a tower on it. And they said, this is where we will meet God. God, you're going to come to this place and meet us. Whoa. So we're going to tell God, okay, God, you can come to Crosswinds Alliance Church and meet us, but when we walk out the door, we're on our own. That's what they were doing, right? They were building a tower as a monument that, and they were saying, this is the home of God. This is the place where God is going to be to meet us. Sorry, God doesn't work that way. So the scripture says that God said, because of your doing this, I will scatter you abroad. I will give you different languages. You often wonder how you got Italian and English and German. And God says, I will scatter you abroad. And there will be many nations out of you. But then he says, read it in the scripture. Go to the Tower of Babel and read it in the scripture. He says, and I will place the sons, plural, sons of God to rule over your nations, but I will rule over the nation of Israel. Definitely plural. When I think of the Son of God, I think of Jesus Christ. But could God have made other gods that have become their sons and they are lesser to him? Because there's another scripture that says, because of the way they ruled the nations, later on in the Old Testament, it says, guess what? Because you ruled the nations this way, and you're trying to have your own way, and you're trying to do it your way, and you're not worshiping me, the one true living God that created all things, I am going to punish you, and you're going to be sent to hell until my return. Now, I'm not sure that I still buy into all this, okay? What I'm saying is it challenged me to start digging into the scripture and looking at the scripture, and it gives me a little bit of an understanding of why some of these other religions have gods that they worship, because it may be the way God created. I don't know. But just looking at some of the scriptures that this guy was showing, it makes sense. Because see, and even in the very beginning, it says the word for God is Elohim, which is a plural. And it says, let us make man in our image. And then it says, and God created man in his image. Okay? God created angels, he created cherubims, he created human beings. Could he have created other gods to help him? Because if you look at God's creation, what does it do? God creates things, people, cherubims, angels, what? To help him get his message out that he is God. So do we put our traditions, do we put our beliefs, do we put them in a box and say, God, this is the way I believe and I will never change that belief and I don't care what you say. I'm not going to do it. Joanne's smiling back there, and I will tell you that I will get a call from Joanne sometime this week, and she said, I went and I looked that up and I read that scripture, and you were either right or you were, I disagree with you. Okay, because Joanne takes the challenge every time I preach. And she goes back and she looks at scripture, because I don't preach just to preach. I preach to challenge each one of us, including myself. Challenge us to grow and be more like, you know, Jesus Christ. But she'll go back and she'll look at scripture and she'll look at the Tower of Babel and she'll look at the scripture for Ahab and she'll look at the, and she'll come back and she'll say, And she'll tell me why she disagrees or why she agrees. So I know that, okay? I know that she is one and she's going to verify what I'm saying as to whether it's right or wrong or whether she agrees or not. And I like that, because when she comes back, she'll tell me why she disagrees, and then I have to go back and look at it again and say, all right, is she right or, you know? So it's that challenge of God's word. But I think it's a terrifying truth when we really think that there is nothing off limits to God. What about our finances? Oh, well, let's not talk about that. Oh, well, God, I want to get a new car. God says to you, well, I want you to give that money to this mission. Yeah, but God, I don't want to give it to that mission. I don't know anything about them. I want a new car, God. God says, well, that's not what I want you to do with your money. Do we ever have conversations like that with God? Probably not, because we don't want God to tell us what to do with our money. Right? I mean, I want somebody else poking in what I do with my money, except for my wife, because she manages it for me. Huh? It's his money. Okay. So do we put that in a box sometime and say it's my money? I worked for it. I earned it. I got it. It's mine. No, Joanne just said, well, one thing that you got to understand, it's God's money. But wait. Yeah, it was God's direction for Jonah to go to Nineveh too, but what did he say? No, I don't want to. God directs us sometimes in our finances, and we say, no, God, that's not how I want to use it. I work for this. You want me to give my money away to that? To them? To others? What the rich young ruler came and said, hey, God, hey, Jesus, what do I have to do to be saved? Jesus said, give everything you got to the poor, and you'll be all right. Up, put them in a box. Okay, God, that's off limits to you, because I'm very rich. I have a lot. Now, God, I'm going to walk away from you, God, because that's off limits. What else do we put off limits to God? How about relationships? Have you ever had a friend that God said, hey, you know what? I don't think you should have that person as a friend. You know, and we go back and say, well, yeah, but God, I'll get a chance to witness to him. But God says, I don't want you to have that person. I don't want you to spend time with that person, because that's not where I really want you to be. But God, I want to. I like him. I mean, we've been friends for a long, long time. Our relationships, our families, do we sometimes put our relationships with our families before God's will? See, anytime we're putting something before God's will for us, we're putting the limits on God. we're making this off limits to God. Our church. We all have pictures of what our church should be like. We all have pictures in our mind of what preachers should be like. Why? Can God take a derelict and make him into a preacher? Would we listen? Maybe, maybe not. We might say, God, that person doesn't really meet the requirements that I have for somebody that I will listen to. I think of Reverend Bartmus over the years. I loved Reverend Bartmus. He was a great man. And I remember, and Chuck, you probably remember this, I remember sitting in a board meeting and Reverend Bartmus saying, I will never sit under a man that doesn't wear a tie when he preaches. As Reverend Bartmus got older, remember seeing him in church without a tie on? Huh? I do. He had taken that tie, and that was his picture of what he expected of the people that preached the Word of God. But not all people that will preach the Word of God, that God gives them a talent and God sends them out. God doesn't dress them all exactly alike, does he? Why? Well, let me ask you a question. If I walked in here wearing a white robe and standing here, would you say that now I'm dressed like Jesus? Georgia, you're shaking your head. Yes, I would be dressed like Jesus. Would I be accepted today as a representative of Jesus? Maybe not. Somebody would look at me and say, hey, I think he's got something loose up there. Now, we all know that I do. But that would even prevent even more. God wants us out of the box. Okay? When he says something, he wants it to be out of the box. You know, one thing that we live in the greatest country in the world. Okay? Even today, we're still the greatest country. Some of our people aren't so great, but we're the greatest country in the world. Okay? And we have all heard of the American dream. Is the American dream God's dream? Probably not. Some people are shaking their head, absolutely no. But see, we have a picture of what it is for American dream. You know, we want a fancy house, right? You know, a nice house, nice cars, nice clothes. We want to eat at the fancy restaurants. I don't like to go to fancy restaurants, you know, just so you guys know if you ever invite me out to eat. I'm not a fancy person. My wife can just find us. You could find us being perfectly satisfied going to Wendy's and having a burger. You know. Her and I can go eat at Wendy's for about $5. Because senior drinks at Wendy's are free. So if you're older, if you're older than 60, you get free drinks at Wendy's. Just tell them, I want a senior drink. Mark that down. If you go to Wendy's, say, hey, I want a senior drink. It's free. All Wendy's. They give you a cup. You go get your drink. Don't have to pay for it. I like that one. Yeah, nothing wrong with that. You know, save me a couple bucks here, a couple bucks there. You know, that's, you know, good thing. But we look at our lives and we put our lives in boxes and say, well, this is what I think it should be like. And when God says, let's change that, we like Jonah, out the door. Sorry, God, that's off limits. That's not yours. That's not yours. Everything about our lives, everything in our lives, everything surrounding us, everything in our church, God reigns over all. It's God's. It's God's. I remember when we got a band, and my wife's better now, but she used to be a neat freak, okay? She spent more time cleaning the house and the vehicles than you could possibly imagine, okay? See, I told you you'd end up somewhere in my sermon. But she was like that. And we got this van. And Austin was in school at Evangel Heights, and he played on a soccer team. And I know, and I don't remember her ever really saying anything about it, but I know it drove her nuts. When I'd haul all the soccer kids to the soccer game, because after we got home, our band didn't look like our band any longer. You know, most teenagers don't pick stuff up after themselves. Most teenagers don't worry if they spill something on the floor. You know, and when you get seven teenage boys together, you don't know what's going to happen. And our van didn't look like our van. And I think maybe probably at first that might have bothered her, but she started understanding. When her and I were taking these kids to the soccer game, we got a chance to interact with them. And hopefully, somewhere along the line, we got a chance to show them Jesus in a way they didn't see it. But sometimes it puts us outside our comfort zone. Jonah did not want to go to Nineveh. And so what he did was he fled. Can I tell you a secret? When you leave here today, God's not staying here. God's not going to be here and wait till Thursday night when we come back for Bible study. You know, he's not just... When we walk out the door, guess what? God reigns over all. He's going with us. He's going with us. Is there something you're making off limits to God? If there is, you got to look at that and you got to say, all right, God, what do you want in my life? What do you want for me? See, Jonah still didn't get the point, did he? He didn't get the point. Because what did he say? He didn't say, look, wait a minute, I'll pray, I'll do God's will, and this will end. He said, throw me in the sea, and it will end. Was he ready to go and do God's will yet? Uh-uh. He made another choice, and he says, well, he said, I can help these other people. Just throw me into the sea, and the water will calm. Okay? Was he going to bow and still do God's will? Nope. It was still off limits. And it says God brought the fish, and he swallowed Jonah, and Jonah lived inside this fish for 3 days, 3 nights. And then the fish came and spit him up on shore. Even when God speaks to us at times, we still say, no, that's off limits, God. Right now, God could speak to all of us and say something that is outside of our box that we have put our lives in and say, this needs to change. And if we really solidly say, oh, that's the way I like the box, what are we going to do? We're going to say, okay, God, I hear you, but I'm still not changing yet. And then God has to work a little more on us. And that's what he had to do. He had to work on Jonah, didn't he? God had to convince Jonah, Jonah, I am, as you said, the God of all creation. You can't get away. You can't run. There ain't no place you can hide. You can't even hide in the sea and die. Because I'll send this fish down to get you, and now you're going to live. God will keep on us until we understand that this is what He wants for us. So if you're wrestling with God at times, and you say, God, but I just, you know, and no matter what it is, no matter if it's something about your church, if it's something about the people in your church, if it's something about your pastor, if it's something, God may say, hey, you're the one that needs to change. Don't put it in the box. See, our life is a box. And sometimes we like to close the lid on the top of the box and just sit there and say, God, we're happy this way. This is the way I want it to be. Oh, God, you want me to talk to that person at the Walmart? Did you get close enough to smell them, God? God says, go over and talk. You know, that person could be the loneliest person in the world and just needs somebody to show they care. And God sends you to say, you know what? God loves you and He cares about you. And you say, God, I'm going to get on the ship. I'm not comfortable doing that, God, so I'm just going to get on the ship and I'm going to take another ride. I'm going to leave Walmart and I'm going to Macy's. Don't matter. Go to Macy's. God will meet you there too. Oh, wait. He reigns over all. As you look at your box, as you look at your life and say, what have I really put off limits to God? Is there something? Maybe there's nothing. I hope so. That's great. But I think if we really, truly look at our lives, we probably all have something that would really say, God, keep your hands off of this. I'm quite comfortable with it the way it is. And I don't want you to change it. You know? I go back to Reverend Bartmus and his tie. I mean, there came a time that he felt the tie wasn't important. That was his box. We all have a box. And there's certain things in the box that we say, God, keep your hands off the box. Anything outside of the box, great, God. Great. I'll be happy. You want me to do this? Oh, yeah, that's good. It's not my box. What's off the limit to God? Huh? What is off limits to God? Nothing. What have you made off limits to God? The right answer there is nothing. But I can guarantee you that we all struggle with that. Myself included. Every one of us has a box that we keep stuff in. Think about the Last Supper. Who was to betray Christ? Judas. When God said, these are God's chosen disciples sitting there at the meal with them. Jesus' chosen disciples. When Jesus said, one of you sitting here with me is going to betray me. What happened? They all quit. Oh. You mean they all had something in their box that they really was trying to keep off limits to Jesus? They all questioned and said, well, is it I? Did Judas know he was the one that was going to betray God? Yeah, he knew. And when Jesus said, one of you is going to betray, they all said the same. Well, Jesus, is it me? That's because they had a box that they weren't opening to Jesus. We need to look in our box. We need to look in it and say, what do I have there that really I'm not letting God have control of? Because if we let God have control of the entire box, we will be much happier in our lives. Because we're walking in the will of God. And when we walk in the will of God, what does He do? Let there be showers of blessings. He says, when you walk in my way, I will bless you. When we open the box, it's going to pour. It's going to pour. Because when we take that box and we empty it out and say, God, nothing will be off limits to you in my life. God will bless us. God will pour out showers of blessings upon us. And if you aren't happy when you're being blessed by God, there's a problem. Right? We're full of joy when we're being blessed by God. It's when we're not seeing those blessings that we start to get a little sour grapes in our system. But when God's blessing us, it's great, isn't it? How many here doesn't want God to bless you? Huh? You don't want God to bless you today? You don't want God to bless you tomorrow? Keep the box shut. Don't open it up. Keep the box shut and say, God, this is still off limits to you. And God won't be blessing you in your life. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. And God, as we all look in the box, that is a box of things that are off limits to you, may we open that box and say, God, I'm releasing this. I'm not going to look at this, and this isn't going to be the thing that drives me as a Christian, but your will is going to be what drives me. Help me, God, to find your will and to walk in it. Because I desire those showers of blessing. I don't want to be like Jonah, trying to run away and knowing that I was the cause of problems because I'm fleeing from you. God, take control of our lives that we may walk in your will. Amen. Let's stand. We're going to do this a cappella. For those of you that don't know, we don't have any music for this one. So we're just going to sing it. Our God is an awesome God. And He reigns from heaven with wisdom, power, and love. And He wants you to have all of that in your life. Let's sing. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome... Sing it like you mean it. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome... God. Walk out the door believing that, and you will be blessed. Have a good day.